Hello,
yep. Yeah, that's a great question. And that answer isn't an easy answer. I think it partially depends on which team, you decide that you want to deal with, and that would, I guess, be based on which team is able to give you the most, just the best overall, value deal. And that could be different based on which team it is, what deal it is. I know I'm kind of ducking the question in a sense, but it's hard to give you a straight answer on that. I think ideal scenario, because I'm really starting to buy this idea that you really just need like three or four great players, and then the rest of your team, you can pretty much just throw out there whoever you want. So I think the ideal situation would be to get a superstar back, and then you have at least three stars, and maybe Nico is close enough to consider kind of that fourth guy. So that might be, I think that'd be ideal. I don't know if that's really realistic, though. I don't know. What do you think, Jordan or Trey or both? No. For a lot of the reasons you just mentioned, style that we saw the Pelicans play in the playoffs, like that's how they want to play. That's how Alvin Gentry wants to play. And a guy coming off an Achilles injury, he's not going to be able to play that way. Like he's going to have to play a more slow it down, grind him out kind of game, at least for the first year or so. And so if you're giving him that big deal, you're going to feel forced to play him as soon as he's physically, capable of playing in an NBA game, which would probably be, December or January or something like that. And so like all this, like you're killing what was so successful for your team at the end of this season. So that's ultimately why where it comes down to for me, why I'm not really interested in re-signing him, or at least, without trading him then. I just don't see the fit for what the Pelicans really want to do. And what I think is best for them with, the other parts of the roster who seem locked in. So that being said, like if you feel like you can adjust your scheme and your style to fit him, and he is healthy, I mean, there's no doubt he still is a, at least a top 20 player in the league, and you could do a lot worse. So I'm kind of hedging my bets a little bit there with that answer, but y'all know how I really feel about this, so. Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, so I mean, and that is the trade that I was gonna bring to the table tonight in this discussion. Was gonna be no. Yeah, no. It's fine. I mean, I was gonna bring it up and I was gonna fight for it. I do think there's more there than might meet the eye initially. And it would probably be more than just Otto Porter. There'd probably be a second player coming back as well. And we can, well, and that's exactly who it would be. And so I think that combination of those two players would be a situation I'd be very comfortable with. You'd have your starting small forward, who I think would fit a lot better in New Orleans than he does in Washington, in terms of scheme. And I mean, the guy can D up, he can shoot the three a little bit. It'll probably get better in a New Orleans type system with more open three looks. And then Satoransky is kind of a poor man's Luka Doncic, who I raved about the other night. And so yeah, so I think that would be a really solid trade for the Pelicans. But to answer your question specifically, Jordan, there's always going to be risk. I mean, if you're going to trade a guy with a risky injury, You're probably going to get back another guy with a similar type of situation. And I don't know. I'd like to think that Porter is still young enough that you can get at least a couple good years out of him before his back really deteriorates too badly. And again, with the fit and all that, even if he's not his ideal self health wise, maybe that's still good enough. So, yeah, it's a big, I mean, you're right. It's a big contract with those question marks, but I still feel like he could potentially still have his best basketball in front of him, and I think a system like New Orleans might allow him to develop that and to grow into that potential. Right. Well, yeah, and I think we would all agree with that ultimately. Right. 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 Oh yeah. But so here's the thing with any potential deal that you might do with the Clippers. It's going to depend first and foremost on if they're willing to do a Kawhi, or I mean, not willing, if they're able to do a Kawhi deal, because they're going to be trying to ship Tobias and probably someone else to San Antonio for Kawhi. So, I mean, it's gonna. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, and we've talked about it. I mean, the Mavericks are obviously, they're probably the first team you think of that makes sense cap wise, that makes sense with just overall what they're trying to do with their team. So I would say they're team number one that realistically could bring Boogie in. Team number two, and I mentioned this in the pod on Monday, is a Lakers team I think that doesn't get any of their first couple options. So doesn't get LeBron, doesn't get Paul George, which it doesn't look like they're going to, and doesn't get Kawhi, and gets desperate to at least bring someone in this offseason. And I think, at that point, Boogie becomes probably, their top priority after those three. And then I would say after that, it's either a team that maybe we've mentioned already, but seems less likely, or maybe even a mystery team that at this point we haven't even thought of. Yeah, I mean, like we said, I mean, the pipe dream certainly would be Kawhi, right? I mean, that's the pipe dream. Like, if you could make that happen, that'd be amazing, and we'd all be super stoked. And at that point, you almost don't care what the rest of your, like we said, you almost don't care what the rest of your roster looks like, because you're set. I mean, you're ready to go to war against the Warriors and the Rockets and the Celtics. But like I said, I don't think that's very likely. So you start looking at both the teams in LA, and they both got some assets that they could throw back your way. Whether it's the Clippers with Tobias Harris, or the Lakers. I mean, you could get Brandon Ingram possibly, maybe Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, I feel like there's one other guy I'm missing who would be a possibility, who would be attractive. Young guy with who? Yeah, I mean, I don't think they would. I don't think he would be part of that deal, but yeah, so I mean, I think either the LA teams would provide you a pretty good trade in return, in terms of what they have in assets that they could send back. I mean, unless there's some way that he decided to do a sign and trade. I don't know. Yep. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like we're going around in a circle here, like kind of keep asking the same question just differently. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we want, yeah, I mean, I agree with what we've said. We either want a guy like Capella because he would fit, like he's the only kind of big man who would fit next to Anthony Davis that you could get. We don't, I mean, we've in our private chat, the name Aaron Baines has been brought up. Like, he doesn't fit next to AD. There's a there's some other, and like you said, Boogie doesn't. I'm convinced Boogie doesn't really fit next to AD in an ideal situation, given the way the Pelicans want to play. So it would have to be a guy like Capella, or it's got to be, a high caliber, 3-and-D wing guy, with hopefully with a, a freakish wingspan. Again, that's kind of why we. Why we are so, have talked so much about Kawhi. Who? What? Oh, yeah. I mean, they'd have to give us a future first round pick of some sort also. Because otherwise I would just walk away and say no. Doug McDermott hasn't proven really to be a guy in this league who can, I don't know, he hasn't lived up to his, his draft slot. Dwight Powell, I don't feel like is much of anything to write home to mom about. So the main value in that trade would be a future first. And those can be tricky because you never know how good a pick that would end up being anyway. So that would be like a C minus for me if they were to do that deal. I feel like there would be better possible. There's definitely better possible deals out there. Yeah. I was just going to add real quick. I just looked up Atlanta's cap situation, and yeah, and they have 11.5 million in what they call cap max space, but practical cap, yeah, practical cap space is 29 million. So, yeah, I don't know. But Atlanta's not in the market for Boogie anyway. Like they wouldn't even try that. I don't think they're trying a genuine rebuild. So I don't think they would even go for that. And I mean, in terms of other teams, I mean. Right. I've mentioned it already. I do think, especially with the move that Washington made yesterday, in trading Gortat for Austin Rivers, I do think that I think they're looking to add a player potentially, a big man, who might be, kind of in that max area, max contract area. And so, maybe they're looking at Capella or, instead of Boogie, but I mean, Boogie makes sense to Washington. It's just a matter of if you're comfortable with what you could potentially get back. The other possibility with Washington that we haven't mentioned yet, is there's been some rumors that maybe they're looking to deal Bradley Beal. Now, I don't know necessarily if that's a great fit coming back, just positionally speaking, how he would fit in with Drew. But the guy can shoot, he can score. I think he would be able to D up well enough to play in New Orleans. So that might be a potential too. And contract wise, he would fit, pretty well, and in terms of making the money work. So, that might be a possibility. If you didn't want Otto Porter and that contract, that's the thing is, and just looking at all the all the potential destinations and all the teams and all the free agents. Like, there's a lot of teams who have no cap space and there's a ton of free agents. So, this is going to be a really interesting offseason just to see how teams work that out. That would be a stable situation. Yeah, basically. Although that would set the Knicks up for their run at Kyrie next summer, and they could have a Kyrie Boogie Porzingis trio, and that would be interesting if they're all healthy. Of course, none of them are ever healthy, so like you said, that would be very Knicks like to do. Yeah, well, and the big thing is, by tomorrow, LeBron and Paul George have to decide if they're gonna opt in or out of their contracts, and so that'll, in a sense, kind of be the start of it. And those will be the two main dominoes too. Yeah, that needs a ba-dump boom. Yeah. Peace.